Cool. All right, good morning, everyone. Yeah, morning. Wow, thanks for that enthusiasm. Yeah, cool. All right, I'm just going to crack into it, so buckle up, let's go. A few years ago, I was studying, and this topic of Sabbath really, really stuck with me. And it stuck with me so much that I brought this print that you can see on the walls, and hopefully, yeah, there it is, perfect. And to be honest, I don't really know kind of how it shows Sabbath, but I think it's kind of got an evolving meaning. And as I prepared for this week, a few kind of extra things came to mind. I think that the open hands, they obviously in the shape of a heart. To me, they look like an invitation. And there's quite a stillness and a restfulness about it. So we're going to look at Sabbath in the light of relationship and trust, and invitation and rest. Cool. So anyone know where in the Bible the Sabbath is first mentioned? Oh, we've got some answers over here. Waking up on this side of the room. Perfect. Love how you copied that, Jordan. Good one. Genesis 2. So that, for those of you that don't know, it was right at the beginning of the Bible. That kind of suggests that it's important stuff, that if it's right at the start, it's gnarly, it's important, we've got to pay attention. So this is the creation story where God has worked for 6 days creating the world, and on the seventh day he rests. So let's have a look. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, did I read that twice? He rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God's busy, he's doing cool, like creating stuff, he's making animals, seasons, oceans, everything we love, and then he goes, yeah, that's good, yeah, it's good stuff, and he just chills, he just stops, right? And it says God rested, God stops working, God himself rested, he takes the time to Shabbat from his work, he rested. And then we keep reading in Genesis 2:15 that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So the words here that God in the Bible that is used is rests or settles. So he rests or settles his humans, his peak of creation, into the Garden of Eden with him. So first of all, he stops working. Then he dwells or hangs out with his people. And it's kind of like the rest of hanging out with your bestie or sitting in front of a fire with a loved one. It's enjoying the company of others. And just a little personal note here. It is in the Garden of Eden. And those of you that know, our daughter is called Eden. And it is this that's actually why we've named her Eden. It's that this garden that we're talking about. And one of the reasons that we named her Eden is because of this dwelling or this intimacy that we see in the garden, the intimacy that God intends for us. So it's a reminder to delight, also what her name means, in the presence of God, and like those intentions were back in the garden and still for us today. So I mentioned that Sabbath is about relationships. So from the very get-go, we see that God's intention for the Sabbath is about unity with him, her, L, if you like, creation, and each other. Cool, we're hanging in there, we're good, sweet. A little further along in the scripture, we see God kind of building or reminding again about this Sabbath kind of rest. So he's choosing his people, and he's giving them the Ten Commandments, which is like him letting them know how to live, what he expects. And he's giving Moses, the leader at the time, some instructions, how to live. I like to think of the Ten Commandments as how to live your best life, really. And God establishes, again, his expectations for the Sabbath. You can read it up there. The points that I want to point out is that he references back to the creation story, and he reminds people, hey, I stopped working, and I expect you to do the same. it's clear he wants us to follow his lead. And I've highlighted two words that stood out for me were blessed and holy. So like the image shows us that we looked at the start, Sabbath is an invitation, it's a blessing, and it's to be holy, it's to be set apart in our weeks. And when we look at it in the light of the scripture, I think we can see that the Sabbath is actually a God-given gift. It's meant to be restorative. It's meant to remind us what life is about and who it is for. It's meant to remind us who we are, and it's meant to remind us whose we are. It's to remind us that God made us, loves us, and that's enough. We don't have to earn his love. We are his already. And I reckon this is really good news. Like, I get really excited when I think about this. And I think it's super encouraging that if you're following God or you're exploring following God, that this is a God that wants us to be free from addiction, free from busyness, rush, hurry. And he wants us to know and acknowledge our limits, come to him and hang out in his presence, dwell with him. He wants to see us solid in our identity as children of God and with fulfilling relationships with others. Sounds like a flourishing life, or part of a flourishing life, hey? Good. Does. Really interestingly, I'm reading this neuroscience book at the moment, and this is me making a connection between the concept of rest and Sabbath and what this book is saying. It doesn't say it in the book, but I was kind of like, oh, there could be a connection there. So there's a part of our brain called the default mode network, and it activates when we're daydreaming, just kind of doing nothing. And it might just be sort of walking along. Often it's in the shower because you don't have your phone or other stuff, and your brain's just like, and it can just chill for a bit. And when this part of the brain is activated, the brain naturally begins to daydream. And get this, do you know what it does? It strategizes your best future. It comes up with, oh, what could my life look like? So I'm wondering, is there could be, a relationship between the stillness, the slowness, even boredom, and the capacity to get towards the future that we're desiring. How cool. Our brains are designed to imagine and strategize our best lives when we slow down. I think it's amazing. However, this idea of stopping work and resting is a bit contrary to maybe what society says, what culture says, which we kind of hear this kind of keep hustling, keep achieving, just work hard enough and you'll get it, or you can be whatever, you'll be enough if you get there. But God says, stop once a week, you're mine, you're loved, remember that. And this is a beautiful invitation, it is a beautiful gift. And I think it sounds a little bit like the words that Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30. He says, come to me, all who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Hare mai kia hau I koutou katoa e. Mui ana I te mahana, ana amaku koutou e whakaoi, or stuff that up, but you get the picture. Come to me, all those who are working hard, and I'll refresh you. Come to me, all those who are stressed, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, all those who have lots on their plate, and I'll show you how to live freely and lightly. And we see Jesus practicing these rhythms. On many, many occasions, Jesus retreats to a quiet place, often in nature, back to creation, mountains, to pray, to seek God. And we know he was busy, eh? Like, he had 3 years to kind of get his ministry going so that we are still following it now. Like, it had quite a bit of pressure, maybe. We know that crowds of people followed him. He had groupies everywhere he went. So we know it was probably quite demanding, like noisy and hectic, right? But we see Jesus retreat before big decisions, after exhausting days, and when he knew that big and hard things were coming up. Jesus retreated. Jesus stopped his work. Jesus rested. And it's clear he wants us to follow his lead. Is anyone else getting like a little bit excited about rest? Okay, good. A few murmurs out there. But it's also hard, right? Like, I'm definitely a person who tends to define my day by what I've achieved. Like, I kind of reflect on my day and I'm like, yeah, cool, I've done this and that and that and I've been really productive, go me. So I find it quite challenging to stop, like it is really hard, and I don't think I'm the only one that finds it hard not to stop. And we're kind of taught a little bit, I have been taught to define my days by how busy I am or what I achieve, and I kind of get a little bit maybe addicted or into getting ahead and not wasting my time and making the most of things and the good weather. And I do find it a little bit hard to sometimes sit with God, because I also know that when I kind of pause, God brings stuff up that I may be like, oh, I'll just distract myself and not think about that area of my life that needs healing. And so it's easier just to kind of keep hustling rather than just being like, actually, God brings that stuff up in my life because he wants to see me healed and whole and free. But it is a struggle. But it is something that I, having a Sabbath is something that I do practice. It's pretty challenging with young kids because there's endless washing and wiping and crumbs and grime everywhere. But how I do it is on a Tuesday, I prioritise my relationship with God. I mostly put my phone away, working on that part. But I make effort to get out in nature, pray, journal, read and slow down. I also catch up with friends, and I sometimes feel a little bit like it's a bit daunting not having anything planned. I don't know if anyone else gets this. But I've really come to know that God leads me in that space with what I need. Sometimes it's more solitude. Sometimes it's more social. And it can look different each week. And it takes a bit of preparation. Like, it takes prep to be able to stop. So kind of one thing that I do is on a Monday night, I try and get the house like a baseline cleanish, and I do a double meal on a Monday so that it's just a simple reheat, boom, in the microwave, on a plate, good to go. Try to let go of my to-do list, don't check my emails so much, and just focus on being with God, dwelling in his presence. And we're working on, as a family, kind of trying to do this a bit more together. That's kind of my personal Sabbath, but also a family Sabbath of just doing things that we enjoy, picnics, buying lunch if you have to, family time, games, and catching up with close friends. So I know that not everyone is dealing with nappies and crumbs and not in the same stage of life as me. So it might be letting go of your work commitments, your demands, your ministry, job hunting, looking after your grandkids, whatever it is. But how it can look is this basic principle of pray and play. This is how it was taught to me, and I really like it. It's simple. I've got a simple brain. Pray and play. So kind of your Sabbath is about spending time with God, seeking him, praying, listening to worship, however you best connect with him, but also engaging in those joyful activities as well, in the play kind of aspect. And it will look different for each of us based on who we are in the stage of life, but I think for each of us, it takes trust. And this is something that I felt really strongly when I was preparing this message. I just kept hearing from God, it takes trust. It takes trust. Trusting God for all that you're not doing and taking care of. It's trusting and reminding ourselves that God is God and we are not. It's trusting God to be able to achieve his plans for us and the world without running ourselves into the ground. It's reminding ourselves that God did it, Jesus did it, and we need to. It's trusting that God knows our concerns, our worries, our stresses, the state of the world, and that he's got it in his hands. It's trusting that time with him will be refreshing. It's trusting that he knows best. And it's trusting that God has good reason to instruct us to rest. And I'm quite a practical person, so that's all I've got to say, but there is a but, because there's quite a lot in there. There's lots that might land differently for different people. God might be highlighting different things. So we're actually going to do a bit of a reflection space, and you've got options, because we love options. One is there's going to be a song that plays up on the screen. If you want to just hang out in your seat and listen and dwell on it and pray, use it as a basis for a prayer, you can hang out in your seats. If you're more of a visual person, I've put the posters up on the side. God might speak to you differently with what that might mean to you. And then beside it is some questions. There's lots of questions. I would suggest just picking one or two and just sitting with that and seeing what God brings up for you. So just before we do that song, I'm going to pray and then have some reflection time, and then we'll come back together after that. Dear God, we thank you for your instruction and for your role modelling of rest. We just pray that as we move into this reflection space, that you really speak to each one of us. Thank you that you're with us and you want to hang out with us. Amen.